You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
We are fellow travelers on this road. You're walking with me today, Dr. Michelle, on Dr. Michelle Live. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can also email dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. First of all, we are part of Breadbox Media, and I love our team. Jennifer, I love you. Jennifer's awesome. She's so has so many hats. I don't know whether she's got room in her house for those hats. She wears all of them quite well. So thank you, Jennifer. And thank you, all of you and Breadbox Media too, because it is a growing, breathing, living entity, and you are all growing, living, and breathing. So we're going to talk today. Yesterday, we talked about broken hearts and that they are real. Not just are they real in the way that that we feel them when we get betrayed, hurt, dumped, cheated on, lied to, looked over, glossed over, picked from another team, or somebody else picked it, and not us on a team. We, you know, there's so many things that break our hearts, and our heart is still our heart. So if you're 10-year-old has a broken heart because they didn't get picked for something or they tried out for something that didn't work, whatever happened, it's still a broken heart. And of course, we're young, we're resilient, we have lots of things in our mind. The older we get, we do put in more importance on things like relationships, family, and they should be. Things like whether you get picked for a team or not, that's all the scruffiness of life. When it comes down to loving, I love you, following in love someone. And when you have the threefold cord in marriage, and those of you that were married in a church and in the Catholic Church, you have the threefold cord, and that's supposed to be forever. And even if you can get annulment, it still feels like, wait a minute, though. Yeah, I get it. There's a reason why this didn't work or someone wasn't truthful. Or there's things you didn't know, you couldn't enter into it fully, you were already pregnant, whatever the case may be. And also knowing, we need to get the reality in here too. It's hard to know, in the true sense of the word know, that marriage, relationships are not romance. Romance has to be a part of it and has to continue to be a part of it. And when that starts to give way to too much outside interest, whether it's too much work because it's necessary, but it just consumes you. When you stop being a team, when you stop having the eyes inward, then destruction happens. It opens the gates. It lets those little cracks in for those little cockroaches to get in and start, you know, oh, pretty soon you turn on a light one day and you're overrun with cockroaches in your relationships. So all this goes back to keeping ourselves centered. When I was a child, I played like a child. Now that I'm older, I am, you know, I put away childish things. I think that was St. Paul, not positive who that was, but it is a very famous biblical quote. And Maya Angelou said it as well. When I did what I knew to do, now that I know better, I do better. So if you've made all these mistakes, we're going to talk today about forgiveness, self-forgiveness, tenacity. Oh, thank you, Jennifer. Boy, she's got every hat on. It's from 1 Corinthians, St. Paul. So that's a really important way, a thing to keep in the back of your mind today. And what did he mean by that? Well, at any point in time, he's not here to say what exactly was in your mind, Paul, when you wrote that. But it, for me, at different times in my life, it means different things. Sometimes it means that I need to be more focused on something. Sometimes it means I have to be a little bit more realistic, a little bit more pragmatic. Sometimes it means that it's about emotion and it's about how I view life. And sometimes it means that I'm actually that I'm taking the responsibility for viewing life as life is and not as I would want it to be. And that's a little bit tough. And we go back to looking at this whole thing about relationships and about the broken hearts and about marriage and annulments. We have a way, and women, you have a way of these things visit themselves on your heart. And sometimes I'm not going to say your pain is worse than your pain, men. I'm not saying that. But what happens is that it's just by our natures. We have a broader scope as women. We have a bigger place for piercing of the heart and tenderness. And we see lots of connections in the ethereal. And what I mean by that is we see lots of connections between the innocence of children and the love that is promised and the future. We see it all at one time. It's a gift. It's a gift of being a woman. It's also the pain of childbirth. And it really is. When I'm not superimposing my own ideas on Genesis, but what Genesis brings about to me sometimes when I hear about at the fall, when Eve is told, okay, you know what? It's going to hurt now, baby. It's going to hurt because you really went too far. Part of that pain of childbirth isn't just the pain of childbirth, the physical pain of childbirth. Part of the pain of childbirth is everything that goes along with it. Your heart will be inextricably tied to those kinds of tendernesses and bonding experiences. And if you have those with a man or with a person, another person, those bonding experiences mean many things. Men seem to have, and they just do, it's their nature, have a stronger ability to compartmentalize. It just is. They're less of a nurturer. We are more nurturing. We just are. Doesn't mean, men, you can't be nurturers and be the most integral part. It takes everything in order to grow the whole human being. It's like a garden. Water is water. It will die without water. Water seeps. Water goes. Water grows. Water does what it does. It wets everything around it. It just keeps going and soaking. It's a soaking thing. Sun, but without sun, a plant also dies. So the sun is just as important. It's just different. Water and sun, very different entities. So today I want to go into a little bit like, let's look at your hearts. Let's open them up a little bit. Let's do a little coronary surgery. Let's do a little open heart here. Let's look at our hearts. Let's look at let's be real with ourselves in what we understand, where we're willing to put our heart. And when we tie and bond to our children, it's a godly, godly thing. And then when we take that tie and we bond to the father of our children or to our husband, if the father of your child turns out to be a wolf in sheep's clothing, it hurts, even though you know it's better to be without that person if it turned out that way, or if it's nothing you can choose. But doesn't mean that the pain's not there. And so what happens to a lot of us women is that you turn it inward into depression. You turn it inward into denial. You turn it inward into self-deprecation. It's all inward. And when you do that, your heart becomes less open to have your next stage in life. You've closed your petals and said, I'm not going to blossom anymore. And that's all about self-forgiveness. So we want to be able to see reality, to name the events as they are. We cannot be who we are not. So there are different spectrums of women out there. Women who are much easier, they have a much easier time of compartmentalizing and taking reality. This is what happens. I'm rolling up my sleeve. I'm going on. Other people are more into their more ethereal, picture oriented. And so they may see the picture, they may see it as a drama. And I don't mean drama in a theatrical way, but they may see it as something that shouldn't have been, couldn't, like almost like a lament, more of a lament than a war cry. And then others still may find it the opportunity of both of those things, and then opening up after a time, a natural time, to God. So whichever place you land on the spectrum, it's about trusting. And you have to trust in Proverbs. I read Proverbs yesterday. Well, today I'm going to read Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Talking about hearts again. And lean not on your own understanding, which is your brain. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So wherever you are in your path, if you're in a place where everything's smooth sailing, this applies to you. If you're in a place where you are in acute pain because of loss of a loved one, this applies to you. If you're 7 years down the road in a difficulty or a difficult marriage or after a divorce, this applies to you. If you've never been married and everything's just kind of like where you're at, you're fine, you don't have any kids, but this also applies to you. So we're going to open our hearts today. We're going to do it. We're doing a little exploratory surgery, a little cardiac surgery here. We're going to see how to connect with our hearts, put that in with our mind and understanding, and be the best possible people we can be. 573-4-BREAD-4. You are with me, Dr. Michelle, Dr. Michelle Live.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Your host, Dr. Michelle. You are walking with me today on this road of life, Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4. Email me anytime, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. So where are we leading with all this stuff? Why does the Bible talk about anxiety? Why does the Bible continually refer to your heart? What is this about? Why the heart? Why the heart? You feel the stuff there, and that's it. So when we have our relationships now, and our heart is given, our heart is involved, and then we add in, as if we are braiding hair or we are macrameing, that the old, I don't know if anyone even macrames anymore, but it became a fad a long time ago, or crocheting, anything. But we're weaving. It's a weave. It's like a rip cord. Those strong rip cords and a bungee cord. You have to have these tight things together. So you're giving your heart. And then if you feel things in your heart, you develop your heart, you grow your heart as a child. If you're artistic, it grows even more because you're opening it up to the emotion of a music, the emotion of painting. This is why music, a little aside here, music and art is so important to children. To fast track them early is doing them a disservice, because you can use, there are mathematical elements to everything, let's say. Everything from your breath down to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. It's all mathematical, the universe. It can be broken down into mathematics. Absolutely done. It just can. Everything, water, it's all broken down to math. But if your child is particularly gifted at math, let's say mathematics, has a great mathematical mind, fast tracking them into that area alone is doing them a disservice. In the days of old, the warriors had to learn calligraphy, or they had to learn poetry. They had to learn languages. They had to learn the arts. They had to be able to paint. This is just part of it. It was all development. So in order to open your heart to music and actually do music, either it's going to open your heart itself just by virtue of what it is, or your ear is going to hear it and it's going to infuse more into it. You'll let yourself go to the music. You'll surrender to the music. So your heart starts to practice surrendering. And then as we get older, we surrender to the person we love. And then as we get older still, or during all this time, ideally, but not for all of us, you've learning or you're experiencing what it is to grow your heart with God. You start off in the infantile stages, just like you do with a crayon and a pencil on a paper. If you look at some of the early stuff Van Gogh did, it really looks like a third grader with some clunky guy, lumberjack type of guy with big feet. And, you know, it was just, that's how he started. But it refines over time as your heart and as everything gets integrated. So when your heart begins to love, it loves in a very childish way, but then it opens up. And whether you have children or not, you've ever been married or not, there's ways to love. And if you open yourself up to people, you experience that love. And when you bring in that threefold cord, which is God in the center of this love, that means it's not just words. You're bringing God into the center. That means you're involving your soul. The soul is weaving like a bungee cord. The soul is weaving like a braided hair. It's weaving with your heart, and all of that's weaving with God. So if you are experiencing that and it gets sliced, it gets burned, it gets destroyed, it gets frayed, it hurts a lot. And so we go back to Proverbs and we hear, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's all your heart, your little kid heart, your big heart, your love heart, your feelings heart, everything. And lean not on your own understanding. In all ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. It is the Proverbs way of saying, surrender all to your higher power. Surrender. And we can, if we're tenacious people and we are bent on doing it ourselves, we can still change that. We can take that tenacity. God can take that tenacity and not tame you. We did see yesterday that in the Greek, or actually it was several days ago, the word meek was actually in reference to harnessing the strength. And that you can give this over to God and God can harness the strength. So when we talk about you and your mental health, when you have all this hugeness of your heart, this love that desires to be poured out, but also if it gets hurt, betrayed, or stepped on or overlooked, and you keep putting your all into something, into a company, and you think you have a friendship there, let's say with your boss even, and you think things are going and they appreciate you and you appreciate them, and you believe, because belief is also a matter of the heart. It's not only in the head. That's information and knowledge, but belief is a deeper thing. And you believe you've actually got a relationship going. And then the boss just, you're gone one day. You just get a little email, or you get the proverbial yellow slip or pink slip or whatever slip it is that tells you you're fired. We don't need you. Thank you very much. But 2 weeks happens all the time. So it's not just, oh, I lost a job, I'll have to find a new one. you have to deal with these things inside and you get these physiological reactions. So what are these physiological reactions? Well, we heard yesterday that a broken heart is an actual medical syndrome with actual physiological measurable reactions of the heart that very, very, very rarely, so don't worry about this, very rarely could lead to death. But actually, you actually get a temporary, with no blocking of the arteries, you get a temporary, it's a shock, it's just a shock, and your heart reacts accordingly. And it just doesn't beat the same way, it doesn't pump out the blood the same way, and things can happen. That's why probably people faint when they hear those kinds, or they lose their legs. I've seen it happen, where people are walking down a hallway, and they get that word that someone has died, or they get that word that's something they never expected happened, and their legs give out. Their whole, their system, just like a stun gun. That's why it's called a stun gun. All right, so what do we do about this? What do we do when it happens? So here's the thing. We do, we can, if we are the kinds of people who keep eating, basically, and don't express our angers, our fears, don't go to our spiritual advisors and say, I am angry, 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 and have a spiritual advisor say back to you, yeah, anger is normal. Not, oh, you don't be angry, stop the anger. But anger is normal. And anger is good and healthy. But if you sublimate it continually, like there's something wrong with you, then you are condemned to live and dwell in your fear. And that produces anxiety. And what happens then is that you are locked in a prison, in a basement, with your own fears. Now, a caveat here. When you're in a relationship, no matter which kind it is, if you're helpless and you can't, it's your boss, you really can't say much of anything, you then find outlets, you find ways around it, but you do not blind yourself to the truth. That is denial, and you will still experience, in fact, even more so the anxiety, because you will still experience what you're experiencing. You just won't understand what it is you're actually feeling or why. So you need to get it out on the table, like emptying a big cluttered purse. You need to get it out on the table. You also need to understand that there is a heart, again, a physical and an emotional heart connection with anxiety. So let's look at anxiety and heart and depression and heart on a actual physical, physiological level. So we'll go straight to Johns Hopkins. Heart and Vascular Institute, pretty black and white, very respected place to be. So when we're talking about, there's a woman, Dr. Una McCain, who is talking about the relationship between anxiety and heart disease. And she starts off by saying that it has not been anxiety and heart disease. And remember, I've told you that depression and anxiety are sisters or brothers, and brothers and sisters. They hold hands walking down the pathway. You may not experience anxiety, or you may not experience what you would call depression. However, one plays on the other. One can even develop into the other. So it just depends on your flavor. However, depression and heart disease has been more studied. But anxiety and heart disease is still believed to be a very strong connection. So we're going to talk a little bit about anxiety and heart disease and depression and heart disease, but also how you can be free of some of these things and ameliorate this connection. I am Dr. Michelle. We'll be walking with you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. We're walking this road together. I am Dr. Michelle, 573-4BREAD-4. We're talking about a lot today. You're on Dr. Michelle Live with me. We are fellow travelers. So, wow, anxiety is fear. That's just it. Anxiety is fear without the obvious cause, or maybe even with the obvious cause, but no outlet. You can't run, you can't fight, and you can't hide. You can't do anything because it's sometimes you're locked in your own prison with your own anxiety. So is there a way that you can learn to trust God even in your fears and understand and be okay with the fact that it does not necessarily mean your fear or anxiety is going away, but it can be your stepping stones? So if you are the person who has the big old heart that just keeps feeling everything and you keep comparing yourself to someone else who can just pull up those old bootstraps and walk on, you're just going to end up with more anxiety. So we want to find a way to be okay with whoever we are. And if you're the one who pulls up the bootstraps and just walks on, which, you know, would be great for those of us who can't. But at the same time, sometimes you wonder, well, am I missing out? That person seems to feel so much because with great abilities comes great responsibilities, but with great and with great expression and great ability to feel comes great joy along with great sorrow. So you may not be able to compare. You don't compare yourself and go, boy, I have so much more joy than the other person. What's wrong with me? You seem to be able to melt into smelling dirt or smelling pine needles or looking up at the sky or just tears to your eyes when you see a hummingbird. And someone else is like, oh yeah, this is cool. Well, that's just how they're experiencing. It's not better or worse, but that makes them who they are, the necessary ingredient in this beautiful earth and universe, and it makes you who you are. So you need to embrace you. That's why the ancient Greeks had the old temperament things, and they kind of got translated into a more modern. A while back, a few books were written about temperaments, and they're helpful. People found them very helpful. The different humors. You know, the bile and the vapors and the, you know, there's all these different humors. There's different way to describe the same thing and different ways through ancient times to now to describe the heart when it's lonely, the heart when it's yearning, the heart when it's full, the heart when it's joyful, the heart when it's betrayed, the heart when it's broken. And sometimes when it breaks, as we saw yesterday, and you can look at yesterday's podcast, breadboxmedia.podbean.com. There are physiological changes that happen, but I'm telling you this not to cause fear and not to cause it, not to say it's a done deal. It should only be empowering to know so you don't have to be afraid when your heart gets broken or when you feel that pain inside and it is in your chest. No, okay, this is normal. This too will pass. It's almost like when you eat something bad and you throw up right there, you're feeling nauseated, you throw up, it's 100%. You're not going to be doing much of anything else. You're not going to be looking at yourself or getting your hair done while you are in the middle of stomach flu. So, but you know that it's going to pass. It doesn't make you feel better, but you know it's going to pass. So number one, you've got to be honest with yourself and in yourself and in your relationships. And if something's happening that's untenable and you're with someone who lies over and over again, let's say, you're going to only increase your anxiety by going and doing the same thing over and over and expecting something different. There's a point where, as Maya Angelou said, if someone shows you who they are, believe them. So if they tell you something's going to change, or they're going to get help for something that's destructive, and they do, and then they fall back. Okay, let's say they do it again. Well, how many times then do you go? And yes, you forgive your brother 7 times 70. However, that doesn't mean that you sit there and get punched like a Bobo doll. Those old dolls of the past, I don't know if they have them anymore, where you just punch this little rubber thing and it kept, like a Weeble People, only it was big. So the point is you have to get these nuances. And we as Christians and as Catholic Christians get this mixed up a lot in what it means. I will just diminish myself. I will diminish myself. And like I said, please look at some of your favorite saints. They were not sanitized wimps. They were strong. They stood against the fray. And that takes a lot. In order to understand that better, let's take a look at the kinds of things that can cause fear. We talk about, well, fear that someone's going to die, fear that you're going to lose everything, fear that you're going to get sick or your loved one's going to get sick, fear that you're going to be betrayed, or fear that you're going to fall in love, that you're falling in love with someone else when you're married, fear of all kinds of things, fear that you won't be good enough. But what if you have a fear of facing things like bills? Like it just kills you every time you see a bill in the mailbox, or you fear that conversation because you don't know how to undo that relationship, someone that's always bringing you down or someone that's very painful to you. So that conversation, you fear conversations, or you fear the story that you need to let out to the world. You're always, you think you've resolved something from your past. You think you've resolved it. You feel that you've resolved it, but you haven't because it's a secret and you're afraid to let it out. You're afraid to tell your family. You're afraid to confront your father that their brother molested you, or you're afraid to confront somebody in your family who's harmed someone else that you know in your family. And there's all these different things. Or to finally say, you, my friend, my father, my mother, my sister, my brother, my husband, my wife, you are an alcoholic. That is not going to fly in this family any longer. No more excuses. No more excuses. Those things are hard, and we just will do anything to avoid them. And so many people do things that are good, and it makes them hide better. So you're doing your CCD classes, and you're heading up the fiesta for your parish, and you're doing the rosary every day after Mass, and you're going to daily Mass. Where is the part where they say, leave it at the altar and go reconcile with your brother? That doesn't necessarily only mean if you've done something bad to them or you're in a fight. It means you cannot be clean in asking for truth if you're not willing to face the truth about you and about your relationships. So if you can take a look and look at not only being grateful for what you have, but look at the things that give you anxiety. And how do you know you have anxiety? You feel it in your chest or in your throat. Fear is the root of anxiety, period. Fear, and some of them are real and good, but fear lives and breeds and thrives in the dark. It cannot live in the light, because once it did, you'd realize that it isn't as big as you think it is. It may be hard. It may be awful. It may be temporarily life-changing and crushing, which isn't so great. But then you realize a day does come when it will no longer, the sting will be gone. And you can't, doesn't make you feel good in the moment, but at least fear doesn't want you to know that. And that's why you have ongoing anxiety, because the anxiety keeps the fear alive. It gives these little pockets where it lives, and therefore it just keeps pouring out this toxin, the sewage of anxiety to keep you right where you are. So when we look at things, when we look at, let's take a look a little bit before the break. 2 Corinthians, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And what is the Lord? The Lord is truth. The Lord is love. So we talk about the difference, the prison of your own mind, the prison of your anxieties. Now, when we were going back to this John Hopkins, which I kind of got a little bit distracted from, this doctor, Dr. Una McCain, she's a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Johns Hopkins, talking about anxiety being a very strong connection with heart disease. She says, in my view and my personal clinical experience, that anxiety disorders can play a major role in heart disease. I believe that a really careful look at anxiety would reveal the ways it can severely impact heart disease, both as a contributing factor and an obstacle in recovery. A natural reaction to a sudden heart attack can be similar to post-traumatic stress disorder. You're likely to be shocked by your near-death experience and extremely hesitant to do things you used to do. You might constantly receive life-threatening event, relive it over and over, and avoid the activity or place associated with the heart attack. Recurring anxious thoughts may impede your ability to get regular sleep. Your thoughts about what lies ahead may be extremely negative and cause a drastically foreshortened outlook of your future. So all those things can happen in just a physical heart attack, which comes from clogged arteries, from either genetics or lifestyle or both, and the more psychological part of post-traumatic stress disorder, which is anxiety disorder or other kinds of panic or compulsive, obsessive-compulsive or other anxiety disorders. See you on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
On Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. So we were looking at Johns Hopkins and the what appears to be pretty obvious, but it isn't obvious in the way that people need to connect the dots. You can have lots of bits of information, but let's connect some of these things. And what do you do about the information you have? Well, knowledge is power and health. So part of it is when you are living with a lot of anxiety and or depression, when you've had these shocks to the system, which cause, again, you may not decide in your head that this is the worst that ever happened. You might be able to tell yourself, no, I've got to get through this. The world does it. But you may experience, because of the shock to the heart, physically and emotionally, you're going to churn out all kinds of chemicals and hormones. You're also going to be your own temperament. You must honor it, love it, cherish it, and be okay with it. And trust in God, knowing that that temperament is part of His design, part of His grand, beautiful tapestry. And you got the one you got. And you might envy someone else because they seem to be already down the road 300 miles from where you are. They were exactly where you're at, let's say. And then they just completely turned around. And you're just sitting there thinking, but I still feel bad. What's going on? I can't get over this. Will this pain ever go away? And as that one soldier said in that film that I made, there ain't no pill in this world that's ever going to take this pain away. And yet, and that was true. And for 30 years, he languished with that. But there was a point in time where where I saw it happen. I saw the transition. There was a point in time that even though he could say those words, he began to live that there was something that was taking that pain away. He began to understand and see love in different places, not in the places they had died or gone or left or abandoned or had moved on or had dumped or had turned and had become something different. It's, you know, it's like a toxic waste. You get in the most beautiful park in the world, but if there's a toxic spill, it's a toxic spill. And you can grieve and you should, and you can lament and you should, and you have it in a memory of this beautiful place you used to frolic in as a child. But if it's radioactive now, you cannot go back there. And that's the same with the things in your heart. But if you just sit in a corner and wanting to go back, but knowing if you go back, you will just be fried. It's not good. It's not trusting God to stop, forgive, and go into a sea of forgetfulness and go forward, because that's what he does. Trusting God isn't just that, oh, I'm going to feel better. It's to put your hand in his, to surrender being you, not being a wimp. So you might, over time, trusting God doesn't mean that you will live perfectly or that everything will go away. But it may mean that it's going to be put in a context, and not just that you have to be the sacrificial lamb, that you have to always feel bad and that's going to be your purpose now. God needs you with everything that has happened. And you are supposed to grieve, you are supposed to feel anger, and you are supposed to feel grief, and anxiety does happen. But on the flip side of that, gratefulness is an antidote. Laughter is an antidote. I told you yesterday, when you laugh, you know, you can't force yourself. People have tried that before where they sit up. I went to a course one time, not in laughter, but part of what they did is had everybody stand up, all these people in suits, everybody stands up and they just say, okay, now laugh. And so people are laughing and they find out this absurdity of it all made everybody laugh more. And it was absurd. And yes, but after a while, everybody's laughing. So it did achieve its marked end. But the truth of the matter is that we know scientifically that just by smiling, you're changing your whole biochemistry. And that in turn will change your outlook a little bit. Now we have to fight the demons in our head that say, well, you're just faking it. We have to fight those things. Now, I'm not advocating just go around with a fake smile. What I'm saying is find some humor. And if you can't find humor, one thing today, look up at the sky, look at the bird, look at a dog, look somewhere in something that gets your heart and allow it to open up. Remember, if God speaks to you, harden not your heart today only, just today, one time. Just today, one time, speak honestly and compassionately about yourself. Speak honestly and compassionately to yourself. I am afraid. I am hurt. I am angry. And then take what comes. If you cry, you cry. If you feel completely helpless and you're just a puddle on the floor, and you're in adoration, you feel like you're going to look stupid, you just do what you got to do. Dwell in the place, house of the Lord. And that means he's breath, he's life. Dwell in the house of life. Philippians says it well. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. That's Philippians 4:8. It's beautiful sentiment. And sometimes even thinking about that, those can be painful. Why? Because you want that for you. Or you feel like the person that you're putting all your trust and love in isn't that person, isn't doing that, is doing everything but that. Honesty and compassion is the fruit honesty and compassion will be your water and your sunshine, as we said in the beginning. You have your own temperament. You're not a man and you're not the person next to you, or you're not a woman and you're not the person next to you. You're you, and you're born with a full complement in the way that you experiencing it. But the only way you can get to who you are and help relieve that anxiety is by attacking it by in so many different fronts. So yes, we want to look and make sure we're healthy. A walk will change your biochemistry to help give you a break. Sometimes we have to distract ourselves with something funny, with a video that we think is enjoyable, or with a long, hard walk, or going to help in a soup kitchen or volunteer somewhere. Because it will give you, it will break the cycle. Do you know how you have to sometimes break your child's cycle when they're down in a meltdown? You have to break it. And sometimes it helps by letting them cry it out. Sometimes it's by going ahead and getting their distraction somewhere else. Sometimes you bribe them a little bit with a little food or something. But you're breaking the cycle because it can feed on itself. And we want to be really careful with that. So I want you to really ponder these things. Maybe look up 2 Corinthians 3:17. Read about it a little bit more above it and below it. Because the Spirit is where the Lord is. Where the Spirit is, that's where the Lord is. Where the Lord is, there is freedom. And all the Lord is love. And you may have been robbed of love of others, but you aren't robbed of love. Love is still yours. It's all a continuum. Your life is a continuum. So if you're at the place where you feel that you do have these bouts, they can even be as strong as panic, get the help you need. Perhaps you might be able to break the cycle because you've got a good counselor. You've got a good spiritual director. Perhaps you need a short-term medication. Perhaps you need whatever it is you need. You know that the cycle now is comfortable. You need to break out of that. But you may not be able to do it on your own. In fact, we're told we can't. And if you are that person who says, well, that's really great because I have nobody now, there are always people. It can be the priest. It can be a counselor. Somebody may not be who you want or the ideal. But sometimes you need to choose. You make the choice of choosing something else to dwell on or think about. It's hard because you're that tenacity, that tenacious part of you, the fear that's taken on a life of its own does not want you to think about something else, or it will wither and die. It's like the Wicked Witch of the West in The Wizard of Oz throwing water on it. That's what the fear and the demons in your own head, they're big and they're powerful if you keep feeding them. But the minute you think about their food is that you're thinking about them. The minute you stop thinking about them, they shrivel in a second, but they can come back, but they shrivel. So the thing is to decrease the water and the food for them and increase the water and food for the things that make you grow. A little bit of exercise doesn't mean a gym membership. Music, if that's soothing, if that just is too painful because you're that kind of temperament, then something funny. If that doesn't do it, then take a run. If that doesn't do it, and or all the above, volunteer. I guarantee there's a place in a kitchen somewhere that wants you to do some dishes, that wants you to help. I'm telling you, it will do a world of good for you. So I will talk to you and be with you, and you and I, you'll talk to me tomorrow on this road. In the meantime, email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. I am Dr. Michelle. Thank you for traveling with me today.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.